follow Jimmy on Twitter at Jimmy Mathis Show or email Jimmy at jmathis@wbal.com.
It certainly sounds like, from not what I understand now, there certainly was some drinking, I guess, going on. Because if you look at the picture, they're not right where I was, but there are some kids, one or two kids, holding red cups. And generally, you know, there could be Kool-Aid in the red cups, but there's probably beer in the red cups. That wasn't, you know, I didn't go over and stick my nose in and see, and maybe I should have. And, you know, and that's all I can tell you about that.
Oh, he stuck his nose in. There's no question about that. I guess
they had
red solo cups. There's an old saying, stop selling after yes. I guess that would apply here. You know, I'm just looking at this. I don't know how big of a story this individually is. I don't know how big of a story the speed camera thing is, but the way that he's handling these, okay, obviously somebody's out to get him, but look, he's running for the top job in Maryland, okay? It comes with the territory. I'm listening to all these pundits here in Maryland on what a disgrace it is that, you know, they believe there's a character assassination attempt out from the O'Malley Brown administration. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there is, maybe there's not. You're going to run as, you know, arguably the leader, okay, on the Democratic side for the top job in Maryland. Odds are people are probably going to be nipping at your heels. You got to be a little smarter than hanging out at a frat party.
Right.
You know, and I'm just looking at the way, Brian, that, again, not the act itself, but he comes out and says that this isn't my moral responsibility. I'm not being funny on this. If you're running as a Democrat, I wouldn't be underplaying the whole morality thing. That is the epicenter of what your entire party is about. If you're not running on your morals and you're going to look after children and the hypocrisy of this. I mean, this guy, you know, in the past was a bulldog when it came to prosecuting underage drinking and ramping up drinking and driving legislation. And that's what bothers me on this is the hypocrisy, which most of these guys are guilty of. It's not unique to Gansler. But I think this may do more damage than a lot of people are suspecting right now.
Yeah, you know, I've spent, as you can imagine, I've spent probably a considerable amount of time the last couple of days thinking about this and talking to people who, you know, who are sort of on the inside of all of this. And I got it. First of all, the couple of observations that I think are interesting. The first one is that, and this is the big one for me, I think it's amazing. There's a gigantic school of thought from inside the echo chamber that this is all coming from O'Malley and Brown, and this isn't, you know, these are definitely campaign opposition research going after Gansler. And, you know, I know that the lieutenant governor has come out and said, no, we're running a positive campaign. I mean, but, you know, there's also, I mean, being cynical reporter, like, you probably have to say that.
Yeah.
Even if you're involved, you have to say it. But here's the thing. We are talking, look how far we are away from the June election.
Right.
And the question that really keeps coming back to me is why would anybody, why are you, these are the kinds of things that would come out 6 weeks before the election. Why are they trying to headshot Gansler now? If that's the play that's going on, you know, it seems to me like there's a concerted effort to really try and headshot his campaign now and get him out. And sort of the only working theory I can come up with is that you don't want to end up with sort of this like really bloody contested primary where you beat up on each other and you spend every dime you have, and sitting there at the end is David Craig or whoever waiting for you, and now you've got to try and scramble and raise money. I'll be honest with you. I mean, right now, I mean, you know, I don't have any other theory about that. If this is really about campaign opposition research and hitting your opponent as hard as you can.
Well, let's look at this thing at 30,000 feet. Let's look at David Craig, Delegate Ron George. Look, it's very difficult, obviously, to win, you know, the Governor Manchin as a Republican in this state.
Exceptionally.
But you look at the legislation that O'Malley has passed over the 8 years, and it has disproportionately hurt minorities and people on fixed income. You look at the regressive taxes that have gone through in the state with the gas tax, the sales tax, the bottle tax, the surcharges on BG&E with offshore wind, again, sin taxes, if I didn't already say that. So where I'm not saying that the fiscally conservative message is necessarily going to resonate with minorities and with Democrats in general. You know, I don't know that it's completely out of the realm of possibility for, you know, David Craig, obviously leading the pack right now, and Delegate Ron George, I've had them both in the program, to craft that message and maybe get a little momentum right now as Gansler continues to bury himself. And Anthony Brown, with all due respect, you know, look, lieutenant governors are normally fairly uneventful, but he is walking in the footsteps of a very unpopular O'Malley administration right now.
He is, and you know, let's go back and remind everyone. I mean, we've probably said it a million times, and we'll say it a million more. I mean, Maryland does not have a habit of electing sitting lieutenant governors.
It's never happened.
We don't do it, and there really has been an early attempt to sort of, you know, and again, talking to the people on the inside of this. I mean, there are folks that refer to this as an attempt to sort of coronate or anoint Brown as, you know, as the de facto, you know, Democratic nominee. I mean, everybody's getting behind him. And look, I mean, again, it's reminiscent to me of 2002 with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. There was really that attempt to anoint her. And again, you couldn't sort of outrun Maryland history. You know, Maryland voters seem to really about have had enough with governors after about two terms. We saw it happen with Glenn Denning. You know, it's not.
And that's not unique to Maryland.
No, it's not. I mean, after 8 years, people are about done with you.
With anybody.
And the problem is that when you're a lieutenant governor in Maryland, your job basically is to sit in a room underneath of a glass box that says break glass in case of emergency. And occasionally, if the governor gives you something, because the Constitution literally says duties as assigned by the, you know, by the governor.
Right.
So you get to do whatever you're allowed to do. So, which is usually not a whole lot. I mean, and so you have 8 years in office without really, you know, having a lot of out front leadership. Although, you know, I know the lieutenant governor worked on the healthcare thing, and there was the BRAC, you know, there's the BRAC stuff. So they're going to argue that they've been doing stuff. And Kathleen Kennedy Townsend had the governor's office on crime control and prevention and juvenile justice. So, you know, everybody's got their thing. But again, I mean, generally speaking, it's a tough position to run from in Maryland because you don't get to do a lot.
But right now, I don't know if O'Malley. Excuse me. I don't know if O'Malley runs in 2016 or not, but he is definitely checking off his list and positioning himself if he wants to do that.
Correct.
You look at him coming out right now. He's trying to craft his message on putting Band-Aids over the negatives. And crime in Baltimore, nationally, Baltimore is perceived as a violent city. So he comes out and basically doubles down on his zero tolerance as mayor. And I think what O'Malley was doing in that situation was saying, look, if you look at crime when I was mayor, it was down. Now, under Stephanie Rawlings Blake, it's up. You can question my zero tolerance stance, but things were better. I can't be the mayor of the city and the governor of the state at the same time. The problem is the people that live in Maryland realize that the guy incarcerated one quarter of the entire city population.
Right.
A lot of those minorities. A lot of those are votes that Anthony Brown is going to need. So while I don't know if it's an asset or a liability that the governor is endorsing Anthony Brown, of course he's going to. I mean, that makes sense, but I don't know that that's some big win for the lieutenant governor right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Although I will tell you, I mean, we have seen, you know, there was a poll that came out about a week ago and showed that O'Malley's approval numbers are really down, but they didn't seem to be affecting Anthony Brown's campaign so far. So there is that disconnect right now.
Brian Sears from the Daily Record taking your phone calls